The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Morning, everyone. We're very blessed. Yesterday we had ordinations in Wichita at the Church of Magdalene, which holds like 1,500 or more. And that was full, standing room only, for six men who became priests, received ordination at the hands of Bishop Kimmy. So it was a beautiful day. It's a very moving ceremony. And we were blessed to have them, to celebrate that life of faith with them. And it took place on Pentecost. And so the bishop, he lays hands on them and he bestows the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then 90 to 100 priests, we all line up in a row and each one of us lays hands on that new priest. It's a powerful experience. They are prayed up. And then they have their hands anointed with oil. God is with them, and they're going to go out into the world, and they're going to proclaim the gospel and perform the sacraments, bring the sacraments to us so that we could have a continued life of grace in the church. And all of this takes place through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. Our minds are weak. And it's difficult to wrap our minds around the incarnation. We cannot comprehend the Father or the Son and the relationship they have with each other. So therefore, we've been given the Holy Spirit as the advocate to shed light on that doctrine of our faith, the incarnation of God, which is so unique to Christianity. So receive the Spirit of truth so that we can know the things of God. And Jesus is the truth, and the Spirit makes him known. So the human person, in all of his weakness, absorbs the gift of the Spirit through faith. So the mind can know God. Like, they knew they were walking around with Jesus. They accepted him as the Messiah, but they needed the light necessary for that knowledge to bring it to fruition. And so Jesus, he even tells them, "You know, I have more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. You can't handle it." And then he says, you know, in John 16, "The Spirit will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Spirit speaks with and for God the Father and God the Son. So the three of them, Father, Son, and Spirit, are united, and the Spirit makes it clear to us. Because we want to think clearly, and we want to walk in the power of the Spirit, and we want to know Jesus, the whole purpose of the church. And the Spirit makes him known. So out of the Babel, like, you know, Genesis, the big tower, and the Tower of Babel, and they all are fighting with each other and everything like that, and so they're all dispersed throughout the world. Out of the Babel, the confusion and darkness of the world, God the Son, Jesus, chose those apostles to receive the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows the Holy Spirit. And Jesus assures those apostles that the Holy Spirit will always be with them. They know him because he dwells with them and he will be in them. Meaning, so with the Spirit, whom we profess to be the Lord, the giver of life, the apostles understand the words of Jesus, what he's been talking to us for 3 years. It makes sense. It's clear. And we stand the death and the resurrection in because we've received the Spirit. So the apostles then will be united in their love for Christ in the power of the Spirit, and this unity is the church. So the church, as we know, was born from the side of Christ on the cross. His side is pierced, blood and water flows out. The church is really born, and that's baptism and Eucharist. And that seals what Jesus did at the Last Supper. So the Last Supper takes place, he gives of himself, the blood and water flow out, and then Pentecost is this manifestation of the Holy Spirit to the world. Pentecost was a Jewish feast that celebrated Moses receiving the law. So it's 50 days after the Passover. And so Pentecost becomes the feast of this manifestation of the church to the world. And so the Holy Spirit empowers those apostles to preach Christ crucified and risen. And St. Peter takes the helm, and he does it in Acts 2, right after the selection you heard today. So he preaches, and they all come together, and they baptize 3,000 people. And the believers, those 3,000, with those about 120, as you read in Acts chapter 1, those 3,100 or odd people, the believers, followed the teaching of the apostles, they broke the bread, they lived the communal life, and they celebrated the prayers. And that's the church. That's what they did. So the Holy Spirit empowers those apostles to bring Christ to the world, and that unity is the church, and they come into that power through those apostles and live in that unity of the church. It's who they are. It's what they're doing. It's powerful. And they're going to bring that Spirit to the world. Now the Holy Spirit calls each one of us out of the world to trust in Him and live in the fullness of God, united through baptism and living on the Eucharist. The Holy Spirit doesn't send us out there to do whatever we want outside of the unity, which we call the church. The Holy Spirit binds us together, and at the same time, the Holy Spirit is working in each person all the time. You receive that Holy Spirit, and it brings you to your heart, and it brings you into the community. Because we're not called to be alone, we're called to be in that church. And so we want that life. And the apostles bring that, and at the same time, each of us is on that spiritual journey. Every person has got that great battle, every single person. So the Holy Spirit offers himself in his fullness to everyone. But the Spirit is given to each person in proportion to his or her readiness to receive the Spirit. Are we open to the Holy Spirit? The presence of the Holy Spirit is fuller, a greater person's desire to be worthy of it. So the more full the presence, the more worthy that person is to receive, to be open to that presence. But doesn't mean you make yourself worthy. We are all sinners, and we need God's grace. We go to Him, we receive forgiveness, we seek Him out, we open our hearts, come Holy Spirit, and enkindle in me the fire of your love. That's what we want. And we see that throughout history, all the saints. St. Francis of Assisi, if he would have just gone off and ran off into the woods like a lunatic, if he just would have gone out there and did whatever he wanted, because he could have said, the Spirit's leading me, we would not know about him, he would be lost and in something like that. But instead, he bore fruit by staying in the church, and then the power of Spirit worked through him, and then he brought the church to its knees through humility and poverty and simplicity. God had a plan, and he used Francis. So the Spirit will remain with us as long as we are open to the Spirit. So the fullness of the human person can only be found in God, the Holy Spirit. We don't truly know who we are unless we allow the Holy Spirit to work. So all these graduations that have taken place and are already, I think they're all done in the United States, you know, high school and college, and everybody gets up there, these speakers, it's like, be the best, the world is yours, you have these talents, you're great, you're wonderful. But the thing is we're all going out into the world and they want them to be excited, they want to be happy, and we're all like kind of envious of their youth. And all of us are like, you know, I could have done some things different or better. Don't raise your hands. We don't have time for everybody's testimony. We could have done this what if thing, you know. What if I would have done this? Or what if I would have done that? What if I would have turned left instead of turned right? What if I would have like taken that job instead of that job? What if I would have done this instead of that? You know? What if I would have sold the corn so early? Right? Things like that. It happens, right? Want them to be successful, but we know in our Catholic faith, in the reality that Jesus loves us, in the power of the Spirit, we become truly who we are called to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do not know what will happen with that. The apostles do not know. Jesus said, wait for it. It's coming. And they're like, every day of their life for 3 years, they have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, after Jesus walked on the water and the storm and everything like that, every time they got in the boat during windy weather, they're like, where's Jesus? You know what I mean? Because that's what they're thinking all the time. What is Jesus going to do now? And so we do not know what the power of the Holy Spirit is going to do, but we do know that the power of the Holy Spirit is there and that He will guide us if we trust in Him and open our lives to Him. And then He could work. So the Spirit of truth lives in us so that we not only know how to live, but also to bring others to Christ Jesus. Because other people need hope, they need life, they need the Spirit, they need to know who they are. The Spirit will be our comfort in the time of waiting. It is the pledge of our hope for the future, the light of our minds and the splendor that enlightens our understanding. And the Holy Spirit is at work. Yesterday is May 23rd, 75th anniversary of the death of Father Capon in Korea in the prisoner of war camp. And those six men were ordained on that day. It's a powerful moment. It's another blessing. 5 days ago, we had the anniversary of the ordination of Father Ivan Eck. He's still alive. He's 99. It was his 75th anniversary. He was ordained when Father Capon was still alive. And when Father Capon is in the prisoner of war camp, he could not offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He was not allowed to. He didn't have the things to do that. He didn't have bread and wine. He could not do it. He offered himself. He baptized a few. He proclaimed the gospel in bringing vegetables to people who were dying. He brought the gospel to others who were dying from starvation and being frozen to death. He brought that hope. They had no hope. And of all the prisoner of war camps that were along the Yalu River up there, like 5 or 7 of them, his camp had the highest survival rate of all the camps. Because he was bringing hope to them. And the Holy Spirit empowered him, because what he was doing is not possible with just pure human effort. I'm going to grind my teeth. I'm going to bear down and get it done. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that made it possible for him to reach those men in kindness, go to the huts where they were dying, sit down on the ground next to them, and hold a man in his arms who came back to life, and he prayed over him so he could receive prayers and then die. Father Capon did that. He brought a hope and a purpose, and a consolation, and the steadfast presence of the Holy Spirit. That is what he did. And he still works today. He works in people's lives. We are very blessed that we have the triune God in our midst. And we enter into his presence. And he works in our lives. And the more we are open to the Holy Spirit, the more he can unfold his plan and guide us into his greater love and greater truth to bring that to all people. May we open ourselves to that and seek his will in our lives, not just each person, which is necessary, but as a community of believers to be called into Christ in the power of the Spirit.